Hello, my name's Thomas. I'd like to welcome you to this meeting, which is on the topic of focusing on ourselves. There are guidelines for chairing, which I'll read out, and then I'll start the meeting. One of them is to ask that mobile phones be turned off or silenced. Then they're telling me to read the declaration. I'll request speakers to keep their sharing to 5 minutes. If you have spoken already this weekend, could you please decline so that other people may step forward and speak? I'll be calling speakers, so I may just randomly call "Oi, you," and hopefully you can reply with "I'm name," and off we go from there. And I'll now start with the Al-Anon Declaration, which is, "Let it begin with me. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, let the hand of Al-Anon and Al-Ateen always be there, and let it begin with me." Topic being focusing on ourselves, I thought I'd work ahead and get a few readings, just because people might not know quite where to start. Welcome to Al-Anon. Because of the problems caused by someone's drinking, some of us are primarily concerned about a relationship with a spouse or partner who has a drinking problem, while others have alcoholic parents or children. Sometimes an alcoholic situation in the workplace brings us to Al-Anon. Regardless of the particular relationship, there is one common denominator: the effect of someone else's drinking on us. Al-Anon gives us an opportunity to look at ourselves and understand how alcoholism has distorted our perspective, hurt our self-image, and affected our ability to develop and maintain healthy relationships. It isn't unusual to enter the doors of Al-Anon family groups in a state of distress. Despite the confusion and chaos we may be experiencing, the program offers us hope that by improving our attitudes we can live better, happier lives. In Al-Anon meetings we meet people who have had experiences similar to ours. They share how much their lives have improved. They show us that our past failures don't have to limit our future growth, as long as we are willing to learn new approaches. Marie, would you like to share on...
I'd love to, but I have spoken this morning.
Well, I'll pass on to Anne, perhaps. Would you like to...
Yes. I spoke last night, but only about Al-Ateen, in general. I just speak very late. Yes, my name's Anne, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I've been in Al-Anon for quite a long time, although I had a gap in the middle where I didn't come because I thought I was too busy and had too many children to look after. But my life went down the gurgle when I didn't come, so I came back. And I find that's one of the real challenges for me, is to keep the focus on myself. I don't know what's inbuilt in me that wants to fix everyone else, or think that I have answers for everyone else. Or I know in my early married life, before I understood my husband was alcoholic, I always used to live in this dream world where everything we would all live happily ever after if my husband didn't drink. And I truly believe that. In fact, I could remember saying it to him. Now, we had lots of children, and two of them were very severely handicapped. And I'd say to him, look, we've got a perfect life. If you'd stop drinking, everything would be fine. Well, of course, I know better than that now. But it has taken an awful lot of meetings and an awful lot of reading and a lot of everything that's in Al-Anon, all the tools that Al-Anon presents to me. And still, that my daily challenge is to focus on, what am I doing in the situation? What do I need to do to change my attitudes, my behaviour, and... Just my thoughts, what I focus on, everything. But I'm so grateful because doing service I've found is really helpful for that, because it's made me so busy that I don't have enough time to worry about what other people are doing anymore. I not only have an alcoholic husband, I have several alcoholic children and lots of extended family who are alcoholics. So I'm surrounded by the disease. And only probably one other family member who goes to Al-Anon. So in family situations now, I find I have to stay sane through periods like Christmas and family gatherings. I need to up my meetings before those functions, and I need to take time out sometimes during those times just to get some peace and some perspective on what's going on. Otherwise, I can go down the gurgle very, very easily. So... Yeah, it's lovely to be here, and I'm looking forward to listening to other people sharing on this topic too. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Anne. I'll read a couple more paragraphs. This is from, for the benefit of the recording system here, iPhone, well done. Discovering Choices, which is one of the Al-Anon more recent books that has been produced. An Al-Anon family group also offers opportunities to understand our own feelings better and how to reach out to other people for support. Before we began attending Al-Anon meetings, many of us ignored our feelings and felt isolated by our problems. We focused primarily on trying to fix the alcoholic relationship or coping with the crisis of the day. We tried to keep things as normal as possible by taking on responsibilities that the alcoholic neglected. It was all up to us, or so we believed. We felt that we had to keep up appearances, that everything was okay, even if that meant making excuses or lying for the alcoholic. Under these circumstances, it can be painful or confusing to pay attention to our own feelings. When we hear other people share in the meetings, however, we begin to recognise how much we have in common with them. As we relate, we begin to feel connected, sometimes for the first time in our lives, and trust begins to grow. Wilma, I know you chaired. Would you like to come and share?
Yes. I'll bring a basket
with me. Oh, thank you very much. For those that are listening, it's a lovely blue colour.
Hi everyone, my name's Wilma and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. I came to Al-Anon, I guess, about 15 years ago. My husband was the drinker in my life. And as everybody says, my life was a mess and I didn't know how to make it right. I absolutely loved this man and I couldn't make him stop drinking. I tried everything. I did all the wrong things. I yelled, I shouted, I banged doors. And I'm usually a very quiet little person. So that quite shocked me that I had those reactions, and they were reactions. I came to get my husband sober. And I discovered with great surprise that the Al-Anon program was not about my husband at all. It was about me. And I don't think I'd focused on me for a very long time. My life was spent watching what the alcoholic did. And you kind of lose track of yourself. You're just not there. Nothing is important about yourself. Constantly thinking about what will it be like tonight? Will he be angry? Will the kids make a noise and will he be upset? Can we share anything together tonight, or will he just fall asleep in front of the TV and snore, and then as soon as you go to change the channel, I was watching that. So you walk around on eggshells and also angry because you have to put the rubbish out, you have to tidy up, you have to do the shopping by yourself. You've got to go to the kids' school interviews alone. I used to watch people at school interviews always with a partner. And I could feel sometimes the tears welling up from my feet because here I am again, alone, and yet I'm married. And I went to buy fish and chips one night and walked into the shop and I was the only person on my own and everyone else came in with a girlfriend or whatever. So what are you going to have, love? And I had to leave because I could feel the tears coming up. Here I am buying the fish and chips alone. I mean, that's how crazy we get, but that's how I felt. So Al-Anon started to, when I first came to Al-Anon, I realised I didn't know how to listen. I heard, but I didn't listen. And Al-Anon, first of all, taught me to listen. And the words that I heard were so wonderful that, you know, I was powerless over alcohol. That was a revelation. I had no idea it was okay to be powerless. And learning to focus on myself. They said this is a selfish program, but it's not selfish in the way that we're taught about selfish. It's selfish that you think and learn to look after yourself. So I've found that, you know, a real revelation. And I think just, you know, haven't thought about yourself for so long or how to be just you. So unfortunately my husband and I did separate. But the really good thing about that, I still get guilty like my husband died about 3.5 years ago, but I still get guilty that I left. But we had a nice relationship once we were separated. And the really wonderful thing about that was that he got sober when we separated. So, you know, I said to him one day, we've given each other great gifts. I came out and I came away and found out about myself, and you found yourself again. So he had 10 lovely years with his children and his grandchildren, and for that I am eternally grateful. But I think it was because Al-Anon taught me to look after me. We were codependent, and we weren't good for each other together. That was my situation. It's not for everyone else. So I'm extremely grateful to Al-Anon that it gave me the chance to find out who I am, and my husband the chance to be himself again and to find his family and his grandchildren. And so I just love my Al-Anon, and I love all the people I meet here. It's wonderful to be here today. It's fabulous. Thank you.
Read a little bit more. An Al-Anon meeting is a safe place to share our feelings. We learn that we're not the only ones whose point of view has been twisted by the strain of living with the effects of someone else's drinking. As we listen to other people's stories, we discover things about ourselves that we may never have suspected. We can begin to admit ourselves, how we feel, and come to understand ourselves better. With the love and support we find in an Al-Anon meeting, we're able to recognise and accept who we are. Wherever we may be in our search for healthy relationships, we have to begin with where we are today. It may be painful to think how much better our relationships could have or should have been. There's no point in criticising ourselves when we did the best we could with what we had. We can gain peace of mind by putting aside what we could or should have done, and by accepting who and where we are right now. Marion, by any chance, would you feel like sharing?
My name's Marion, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. Thank you. I could relate a lot to that reading. I thought I was one of these managers to fix everything and everybody. And I came in because of my son, and I thought there was nothing wrong with me. It was only when I'd been in Al-Anon a little while, and I had a lady who said, "You need a sponsor and I'm going to be it." And then on one of the very first sessions, she said to me, "Go home and look in the mirror and say, 'I love you,' to that person you see." I thought, what the heck am I getting told to do a thing like that for? I thought, that'd be easy. Went home, couldn't do it. Stood there and cried. And I thought, who am I? I didn't have a clue. You asked me about someone else in my family, I could have told you anything and everything. Knew their likes, knew their dislikes, knew their behaviour patterns. Only had to look. My son, he's got cadet boots on today. Watch out. It's not cadet's day. He's in a foul mood. This one's gone in a temper. That one's gone in a temper. But where was I in all of this? I had not a clue. I didn't even know you were allowed to have feelings. It took me months in Al-Anon before I woke up to that point. So for me, it's been a huge learning curve. I was in my 50s when I came into this fellowship, and if my son wouldn't have been behaving the way he was, I would not have pulled up and gone, there's something wrong. That's what cracked the denial for me. I'm still on that journey of finding myself. At least today I know I'm allowed to have feelings. I don't always know what you're supposed to do with them, though, especially anger. I can recognise anger in other people. But like Wilma said, I didn't know that I had anger. And there's no way you can live with an alcoholic at that stage for 31 years and having been brought up in an alcoholic family and not have anger. For me, it was not safe, because there were always consequences that were very unpleasant. So it was easier, bottle it all up. Don't look at anything. Deny that it's all happening. And to strip off those survival skills that I had at that time, it's been a hard journey, but a worthwhile journey. I'm beginning to find out who I am and things that I like to do. And And I used to get told by my partner, if you're not with me, you're against me. So it wasn't even okay to have an opinion anyway. Today I have to keep that in a balance because I'm very strong-willed too. You put two strong-willed sick people together, you do not get one welly out of the two of them. And that's been the case in our family. But what a reward to find that there's somewhere to come where there is recovery for me. I don't have to use those skills that I had then. That was surviving in a crazy world. Today, these steps help me to live with me. And I can pull away bit by bit when my higher power is ready for me to deal with things, to put the focus back on me. Because I realised all I'd done was first I focused on my husband, gave that one away as a bad joke because nothing ever happened, nothing changed. Then I focused on my eldest daughter. She told me where to go in no uncertain terms. And then I focused on the son. The middle one skipped. She was the quiet one of the three. But by doing that, I never ever had to stop and look at anything else because I was so focused on what they were doing. If they'd stop, I wouldn't be doing this. If that one had changed, I wouldn't be doing this either. And it was my second sponsor who said to me regarding my oldest daughter, "Put out, leave her alone," because I was so upset because I had no relationship with her. And I couldn't understand why. I wasn't the drinker. The husband was the drinker and she got on better with him than me. It didn't make sense. I had to come in here and learn that I had had part of it. And that anger gets transferred. Today I can understand that because I'm also an adult child. And I had to let her go and wake up to the fact I'm not the centre of anyone else's universe and they're not the centre of mine. So for me, I find that it's been a miracle to find these rooms, and miracles have happened in my family. Relationships have changed for the better. Once I got out of my daughter's way, out of higher power's way, things changed. She's come back into my life and brought a little grandchild back in that I was not going to be allowed to have much contact with. I'm repeating the scenario now with my son. But again, I've learned, butt out. Mind your own business. There's only one you can change, and that's myself. I have to let the higher power do what needs to be done in his time, not my time. So thank you all so much for being here for my recovery. Thank you, Thomas.
For those that have walked in, this is an Al-Anon meeting on focusing on ourselves. I'm doing a couple of readings and I'm then asking a person to share, and I'm hoping people can keep to 5 minutes. If you've already shared today, it would be appreciated if you can consider declining to allow someone else to contribute towards the meeting. The Al-Anon program offers a range of tools that can help us. As we continue to attend meetings, we learn that it is possible to let go of old companions like failure, shame and guilt. In time, we can make progress, but only we can make it one day at a time. The Al-Anon tools help us realise that the ability to start over is always within our reach, and there is always more hope than we may have thought. Would you care to share? Yeah. Not a problem. Either of you two ladies at the front? Brilliant. It's good to be closer to the front, and that way it's nicer.
Hi everyone. My name's Anna. I was introduced to Al-Anon about 24 years ago. I was just reflecting then. The person that introduced me, she was a member of our parish group, and she recognised me as a family member of a drinking person. So I was relieved when I came. Actually, when I first came, I thought coming would help me get an alcoholic sober, but that wasn't the case. It's really to focus on me. I find that I was really crushed by the disease. I think Al-Anon rescued me from the toll of having to live with an alcoholic and bring up three children. But it also, sorry, I'm having these mental blocks because I'm not used to public speaking. And it also, what I found is the father's drinking habit taught drinking habit to the subsequent generation. So then I had to deal with that. So I've, in the last few years, I've been coming on and off to Al-Anon, but I really need Al-Anon because a couple of times I've ended up in hospital because of the depression that it's caused me. I'm just, and when I was going to Al-Anon, I suffered less of that. Now I'm sort of on medication and try and stay out of hospital. I still have a lot of disorganized thoughts, but reflecting on how we can help ourselves, I find that the way we can help ourselves is to put the alcoholics' problems aside and look at your own life and be happy, because there's nothing that I can do to stop the alcoholic from drinking, whether it's their father, whether it's their children, whether it's extended family members. So coming to Al-Anon all these years, I've been around a lot of people that adopt the drinking behaviour as part of their life, and they talk and waffle on and say very hurtful things about different things, without any responsibility for what they say. And I'm finding it's taken me all these years to try and get a glimpse of myself, of what I was like before I met this alcoholic person. That's what it does. It completely destroys your own identity because you're too busy. I was too busy reacting on what the alcoholic behaviour was about rather than focus on what I needed to do, I managed to bring up the children on my own. But still, I don't think I would have been able to do that without the help of Al-Anon. So that's all. See. Thank you.
The Al-Anon program reminds us that whatever arises, problem or opportunity, there are people who can help us with their stories of courage, strength and hope. Instead of focusing on our disappointments and anxieties, we can read conference-approved literature or call an Al-Anon friend who has faced similar challenges. Reaching out to fellow members is a safe way to learn skills for building healthy relationships. These contacts can be helpful and supportive, and some of them evolve into genuine friendship. We are also encouraged to study the 12 steps with a sponsor, a trusted Al-Anon member who has also walked along these paths. Genuine care for our new Al-Anon friends might cause us to question our old attitudes about friendship and love. We are urged to notice the difference between love and control. There is a tremendous freedom to be experienced when we let go and let God by allowing others to decide for themselves how to live their lives and face the consequences of their actions, good or bad, without our interference. We become free to concentrate on what is truly ours to change. Would you care to share?
Good afternoon, I'm Cecilia.
Hi,
Cecilia. Why I came to Al-Anon, I'm not quite sure. I had three members of my family drinking, and I thought I was going to go insane. And my father also was an alcoholic, and there was nothing to stop him from drinking. So I thought the younger generation, there's no hope. They will drink for the rest of their life. So I had to do something for myself. And otherwise I ought to go insane or something will happen to me. So I really went to, I seen something about Alcoholics Anonymous, I think, on TV. And I went to the phone book and I found Alcoholics Anonymous and Alcohol and Drug Counseling. And I was at work and this friend, she said, oh, Cecilia, what do you want? And I said, oh, I'm looking for this, but I don't know which one I should go. And she looked and she said, oh, I think you should go to that one. That was alcohol and drug counseling. And she said, oh, would you like me to make an appointment for you? She was very helpful. And I said, oh, yes, would you please? So she made it, and she told me when it was. You will go, won't you? You won't let me down. Oh, I'll go. Of course I'll go. So anyway, I did go, and there were two people interviewing me. At the end, they said that there are meetings whether I would be willing to go. I said, yes, I would. And they gave me Freedom from Despair, a pamphlet, and a meeting list. So I knew a little bit around the city and North Coast Brunswick a little bit, sort of. But I didn't know much other areas, and I was driving. So next day at work, I asked the driver who was driving for the company where I worked, and he told me how to get to Essendon meeting, and I started on Wednesday. And I was told to do at least 6 meetings before I decide whether Al-Anon was for me. So I went, City Friday used to be, and Monday Heidelberg, and the following with the same. And when it was my 7th meeting, I said, oh, I did my 6 meetings, what do I do now? And I was asked, do you like it? I said, yes. Oh, just keep coming. So when I came to the meeting and I saw powerless over alcohol and that our lives became unmanageable, well, I did admit that before, even before I came to Al-Anon. But I found out that alcoholism is a disease and that there were people who were sober. Even there was one man, 25 years sober. So I got hope when I came to Al-Anon. There was hope that some members of my family, if not all, some might get sober one day. And it wasn't long before one did. Another, I don't know where she is, but I changed to see if she's well. And one is in the grave, unfortunately. So, and I keep, I think for about 11 years, I kept going at least 3 meetings per week, and plus the anniversaries and AA anniversaries. And actually very early, I bought a pair of shoes just to go to meetings. Mm-hmm. And they wore out very quickly because I was using them quite a lot. So then I got a bit sick and people were still smoking and that interfered with my health. And I started to go less. And then I ended up living on my own. And I thought, oh, I don't really... Well, I started to do other things because Al-Anon helped me to get to other things. I went to study and... even though a teacher told me when I was about 9 or 10 that I sang like a donkey, but I found a choir and I started to sing. And I started to dance. And, well, I always had a desire for learning, but Al-Anon helped me so much to get to those places. If it wasn't for Al-Anon, I would have ended up in grave or a mental institution, something like that. So, but still, I always kept in touch with Al-Anon members, and my Odette, I always had one, which I don't know, I must have bought at least 6 and I keep giving them away. So, and then I sort of started coming again, and now stopping the alcoholic drinking, there are no drinking people. Well, there is one in my family, but I don't live with her. And but I have friends who drink. And I can't stop trying, and I will not stop trying. I will continue, but I will not get myself sick, like if I didn't have Al-Anon. I know I can say a word, I can sow the seed, and when it comes, it might come out. So... I will try to get people in many places. I'm a professional recruiter. Well, I do try to give what I have. So, thanks God for all of them. Thank you.
When we're caught in negative thoughts about someone else's problem drinking, gratitude for anything, much less gratitude for anything about ourselves, may be the last thing we feel we have time to consider. But taking 5 minutes to begin a gratitude list is an excellent first step in a time of crisis. Starting a gratitude list puts the focus on ourselves, even if only for a short while. It also puts the negative aspects of our situation into a broader framework that can also include positive factors. Writing a gratitude list can be the beginning of a lifelong process of learning how to see ourselves in a more positive light. It only takes a few minutes to start, but ultimately it can have profound benefits. Our gratitude list will keep growing the more we add to it. When we adopt an attitude of gratitude, there is less room in our lives for self-pity, control and despair. If we are no longer trying to change others, it is possible to see the good qualities they have to offer. Rhett.
Hi, my name's Rhett and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Rhett.
Hi, Rhett.
I've been coming since November, so I'm still very much a newcomer. But when I initially arrived, I had a little bit of trouble with identification. Not trouble, but I had to dig a little deeper because my fiance, who's been the main sort of stimulus to bring my issues out, I don't know if she's an alcoholic. She's definitely a binge drinker. I think that she's got a dependence on alcohol. My dad, whose drinking affected me a lot when I was younger, I don't believe he's an alcoholic either, but I was definitely affected by his drinking. My grandmother was on my mum's side, was definitely an alcoholic, and she had a profound impact on my mother, and I think my mother has had a sort of a flow-on impact on me. So, but what I'm talking about is there's the lack of, there wasn't a lot of violence in my upbringing, There wasn't a lack of money or a lack of responsibility or people not showing up to work or going missing or daily drinking or any of that stuff that is probably a little bit easier to identify with. But getting onto the topic, and one thing I noticed just when I was sitting there then was I had these reactions primarily around my significant other, girlfriends in the past and... I thought up until sitting in that chair about 5 minutes ago that my reactions were reactions to the stimulus of having a fiancé that goes out and drinks and parties too much and who, if my needs or anything that I want to do comes in between her and partying and nightclubbing and drinking, they get trampled. I thought that was primarily why, and I was sort of... I was in a little bit of fear as to, because she's leaving, she's going to go back to the States in February and we're splitting up, but I thought that, wow, when she goes away, what's going to be my motivation to continue on with Al-Anon? And when I was sitting in that chair before, I thought about a relationship I had with a girl in 2006 where she wasn't an alcoholic, she'd barely drink more than two wines when she'd go out. She was always appropriate, I never saw her flirting with other guys or anything like that. But still, every jealous and insecure and emotional and controlling thing that I've experienced living with somebody who I think does have a drinking problem came out and destroyed that relationship back in 2006. So I guess what I'm saying is that I don't think my ability to focus on myself and not focus on the other person has anything to do with the other person. And it's got everything to do with me. And I think that if I had the most perfect partner in the world and was out at a nightclub with them, I would still be scanning around the room and looking around for danger and guys that might be better looking than me or bigger than me or watching what she was doing when she went to the bar. And that constant, there's a whole bunch of other things that I could talk about, but this is probably the best example of my disease at work. I can't have a good time when I go out. And I don't even have to be with the other person. I can be away with my mates having coffee and I struggle to keep the focus on myself and what I'm doing and what I want and what I enjoy because I'm obsessing about that other person. and thus handing over control of my happiness and my life and my well-being to that other person. I'm very, very grateful that I've found this fellowship and that I've started to get involved in it. I haven't started the steps yet, although I did get a sponsor this week, and I plan to start that process. But just the action of sitting in meetings and hearing people share and identifying with the things that they've said has made life easier. You know, little sayings and... Like, I've been out recently with my mates and I've felt those feelings start to come up, and self-talk in my head has just been, focus on what you want. Focus on you and what you want right now and what you're doing and try and have fun. And it's working. So, you know, this is an issue that has dogged me for... ever since I was old enough to get into a relationship, and I'm sick of living with it, and I'm just really grateful that there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel and a place for me to go and a way to grow through this and be happy in my life. So thanks.
Thank you. Thank
you. It's much easier for us to mind our own business when we have clarity and understanding of who we are. Al-Anon shows us that it is possible to be satisfied and happy no matter what is going on around us, including whether or not the alcoholic is drinking. With each day, we can learn how to define who we are without waiting for others to agree. We can begin to develop and enjoy a new perception of ourselves. We take small steps, try different options, and get used to different outcomes. Slowly, we learn that it's okay to take care of ourselves. When we are being good to ourselves, we are better able to make a positive contribution to the lives of all those we love, including the alcoholic. We can look at what we can do just for today, and let that be enough for now. As we grow in the Al-Anon program, our list of positives can keep growing. Right, I'm going to pick someone I don't know. Second from the left, far back, with the glasses. Yes. Would you like to share? Thank you.
Well, I'm Kat, and very grateful for Al-Anon. Well, this is a very appropriate subject for me because I'd given over power entirely to my husband and my two children. I didn't think I had a say in anything. I was just there to look after and to please them. And I wanted their lives to be just so. That's my children. But living with alcoholism, it wasn't because of this disease that we were all trying to live with, that we didn't understand before Al-Anon. And it was just chaos, really. And the effect of this disease is still there today. I eventually found Al-Anon and started to look at myself and learn about myself, and that I was a person that had desires. I did have good qualities. I could do things that I liked for myself. I found that I liked gardening more than I thought I did. It wasn't just plain necessary. I liked it. And various other things. And I always liked tennis, and I still play that today. Even though I'm an old lady, I play with old ladies on Tuesday nights. And I enjoy that. And Al-Anon has helped me enjoy my life and to see the good things in life, to be grateful, and that the sun shines through my window of a morning, that I have a warm bed and I have enough food, and I have a nice car to drive. And that's you know, spoiled a bit that way, I suppose, because my family is very good to me. My grandchildren, more so, are very good to me. I am distant from a daughter of mine, but that's the way she has chosen it to be. One day that may change, but that's a part of this disease of alcoholism. My son is very affected through this disease. He has his addictions. But through Al-Anon, I can cope with him. We get on fine. And that's only through Al-Anon. years ago, my husband and I, he's passed away now, but years ago we did separate, and through Al-Anon we were quite, we made better friends separated than what we did in a marriage state. But that's only through Al-Anon. A lot of people, the outside world expects people when they separate that they'll be at each other. But we weren't. We had an extended family, and it was the way I wanted it to be, an Al-Anon way. And my grandchildren, well, they're getting in, adults now, and I enjoy them. They're wonderful children. They have their problems, but through Al-Anon, I can focus on myself and not get into their lives. One grandson, apparently, I think he likes the top of the doings, if you know what I mean. And the other, I've got four grandsons, and one of them said, you know, he drinks too much, Nana, you know, the sort of thing, and I thought, oh, they want me to have a word with him. So I didn't say anything, didn't react. And then this particular one said to me, I suppose you want to talk to me about my drinking, Nana. I said, no, darling, that's your business. Because I thought if I didn't do that, there would be consequences, and the consequences that I would lose his friendship. And so he comes around, we're real good friends today. But that's only through Al-Anon, focusing on myself, minding my own business, and one day I hope and pray that the daughter that's a very distant will come around and change, you know, perhaps. That's in God's hands. And at least I have the grandsons, which are her children. They still come. And that's a blessing. I have lots of blessings in my life through this program. Thank you.
Okay, this is a reading, so just pretend this is a share. I married a woman raised in a home with an alcoholic father. Al-Anon has proven to be a valuable resource to me in the way I relate to my two children, who are now both young adults. My son would often tell me about his problems, and my reactions would be to try to help fix them. About 10 years ago, I came to believe that wrestling my son's responsibilities away from him was not helping him, and was unhealthy for both of us. Now when he shares a problem with me, I'm able to say, yes, that is a big problem you have, but I believe you can handle it. Our relationship has improved since I started giving my new responses. Warren? I saw you hiding there.
Yeah, I was. Hi everyone, I'm Warren, a grateful member of Al-Anon. Focusing on myself. Geez, an adult child of a dry drunk and a family riddled with alcoholics and the disease. I was pretty much raised to follow my mum's footsteps, which to live in servitude, to the disease, always seeking acceptance and within that, you know, to be able to feel part of the family. So therefore my actions became, in that, my actions became my disease. And I completely took the focus off myself, and being in servitude to those around me became my number one goal. And, you know, I was no different to the alcoholic. I was, you know, absolutely full on, 100%, all of my waking hours onto it. You know, I was into workaholism, I was into doing things for others that they should have been doing themselves. I was into rescuing, enabling. I'd handed things over. I grew up with no understanding of what it was to look after yourself. And as a result, I nearly paid the price of my life. You know, a couple of times I ended up in hospital in serious condition. Because when I had the signs of illness, I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't know to go to the doctor. I walked around for months and months and months with a gallbladder problem, and just ignored the pain, because I couldn't not be there for my family. I couldn't not be there for my wife and my kids. And I married the daughter of an alcoholic who was terribly affected by the disease, and pretty much I was trying to live her life for her by doing things for her that she should have been doing herself. The gallbladder burst, you know, and I continued to walk around for a couple of months before, you know, it got toxic. And that's how I ended up in hospital. But I didn't know for many years after that that had happened because I wasn't focusing on myself. I just thought, you know, it was just a freak of nature that I was unlucky. And when I got out of hospital, I went back to doing the same thing. Nothing changed. Nothing changed till I hit another rock bottom, another sickness. My wife left me, and I had a series of toxic alcoholic or holic and addicted type relationships, which all ended very sad. And I tried to do those relationships in secret because I was when my wife left me, I was left with the kids to raise, and I was living a double life. You know. I would find these people who needed to be rescued in my mind, and I'd go and rescue them. But I wouldn't introduce them to my kids or my world. So, to most people, they never knew that I was having relationships, you know, with other women. And didn't I pay the price for that? Because I just split myself down the middle. And I was trying to please my kids. I was trying to please the people who saw me as a single father. Raising my kids, I was trying to... It's just insanity. And I was trying to start relationships, and these women who were addicted, you know, they saw somebody who was prepared to hand it over, so they wanted more, you know? And you know, I was being pulled in all these directions until, you know, where did it get me? Full of anxiety, and 12 stepped into the room. It was the best thing that ever happened to me a few years ago now. So today, you know, I'm so grateful for the people of... been able to listen to and learn from. You know, my anxiety was such that I couldn't walk into a shop without a fear of who was looking at me. What did somebody want from me? I was always second guessing. You know, people could look at me and I was thinking, what's wrong with me? Am I sick? Because I couldn't have that. I didn't have the ability to make that judgment for myself. So today I make that judgment for myself. I attend lots of meetings, I work the programs, I've had a couple of wonderful sponsors. I do reach out calls, I do daily readings, and I'm changing my behaviour. My behaviour is putting the focus on myself. I said I attend lots of meetings, that's putting the focus on myself. This week, I've got a bit of a virus at the moment, which wasn't getting better, so this week I took 4 days off. I went to the doctor, I've got my own business, you know, two businesses which demand a lot of my time. I just totally let go of them. Let them run themselves, you know. And I still went to a couple of meetings, you know, but I stayed in bed in the morning, took the dog for a walk, just chilled and did nothing. That is the miracle of this program, you know, and I'm recovering it. Before this program, you know, I'll be close to pneumonia by now. So I'm very grateful. Thank you.
We've got 10 or so minutes left. Is there anyone that would like to contribute to the sharing? An Al-Anon member. Okay, I'll just randomly pick someone who's been here for a while. There are two ladies at the back. The lady with glasses. The lady in blue. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Kendall. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I always get a bit nervous when I'm sharing in another state or something where I don't know people, but it's really nice to be here. I do know some faces here, so it's nice. My home group is Bondi Junction, 11:30 on a Wednesday in Sydney, and you're all very welcome if you're ever in that neck of the woods. I've really enjoyed listening, actually. It's just... I really belong. I grew up in a family that was affected by the disease of alcoholism. I identify as an adult child, but neither of my parents identify as alcoholics. They were both adult children. They both grew up in families affected by alcoholism and, you know, shake the family tree. We got plenty of alcoholics in my family. They fall off and hit you in the face, you know. It's like... Or the other people fall off and hit you in the face. It's like... It's a family disease, and I don't know if it was this meeting or the last one, but I really identified with the person that was talking about the fact that it's nothing to do with the alcoholics in my life anymore. It's nothing to do with them. And it's everything to do with the belief system, the truths and the opinions that I developed in myself from the, you know, my earliest memories that were as a direct result of growing up with the effects of this disease. And walking around in the world with a slightly skewed perception of the world and myself as a result of, you know, those beliefs, which the number one, you know, for me is, you know, that real lack of a sense that I'm okay as I am, you know. And I can't pin that on a specific moment, you know, where my dad was in a rage or when my mum was in a full-blown depression, you know, in her room for days or, you know, I can't pin it on anything. But it's the accumulative effect of the disease, you know. And I'm working the steps with a new sponsor and it's been a really profound process. We've spent like 6 months and I'm only on step two, you know, and we're going through the path to recovery and we're doing it in a way that it's a new experience for me. It's very deep and I'm doing a lot of meditation and I'm just looking at a lot of stuff and for once I'm not doing it. I'm not like controlling the process, you know. I'm not writing reams of the right answers to give back to my sponsor. You know, I'm like experiencing it. I'm having a new experience and it's really powerful and some of it is really not pretty, you know. I've had a lot of feelings come up and, you know, it's slow going. But it's really profound and I identify with all the stuff of the adult child, you know, and the three core ideas that has been explained to me that adult children have, and it's, you know, I'm not okay as I am, I'm not worthy, I'm not okay. Number two is I'm not loving, I'm not lovable, I don't know what love is, you know, I can't give and receive love. And the third thing is it's never going to change, you know. And this is the insanity of the disease of alcoholism that is in me. And I've walked through my whole life with those kind of beliefs deep down inside of me and looking at the world that way. And the gift of the program and of Al-Anon is to know that's my insanity, you know. That's the insanity of the disease. And it's like, what if there could be a whole new way to look at the world and myself that is devoid of those ideas, those core ideas. And just that willingness to, you know, think about that, it blows my mind. Like, it literally blows my mind and it blows those ideas out and it's like, it's awesome. But, yeah, on a daily basis, you know, I can be really crazy. I live with a recovering alcoholic. We just got engaged. I love him to bits and some days I want to kill him, you know, and, like, I really need the program. I really need the program. And I really identified to what was shared earlier, you know, those moments, those crazy moments where I'm paranoid about all the women he is looking at, you know, and, like, when I'm in my stuff, I'm in those core ideas again. I'm in the I'm not good enough. I don't deserve love, you know, and those ones. And at least now with the awareness of the program, it's very slow. It's very slow, but I'm getting the help I need. I'm getting guided, you know. The God of my absolute misunderstanding shows up for me in my life and in the program, and I keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'm working with this crazy, crazy old member, and he is not somebody I would have picked for myself, but he showed up for me when I was experiencing some trauma in the program that other people I'd worked with hadn't experienced, so they didn't know what was going on for me. And I felt like I was losing the plot, you know, I was having like an emotional breakdown. And he'd had the experience. And that's how I know I'm being guided and looked after. He stepped in and now he's showing me this whole new way through the steps. That's just like, woo, you know, we're doing some crazy stuff, you know, but it's awesome. And it really speaks to me. It speaks to my spirit. So if you're new, I'd really encourage you to stick around because it's when I first came in, I've been around this program for about 8 years now, and when I first came in, I spent a year crying, you know, in every meeting, and I thought I had it. I thought I had it all sorted, you know, and the longer I keep coming back, it's like I am a slow learner. I heard people say that on speaker tapes and stuff. I'm a slow learner. I was like, oh, poor you, you know, I've got it sorted, you know. And now I know that's me. Like, that's me. I'm a slow learner. The fact that I was thinking that means I'm a slow learner, you know. So it's like, it's so slow and it's so gentle. This program's so gentle and loving, and the answer is always get the focus back here. What is going on inside me? Why am I reacting to this situation? There's something in me that's not right, you know, that needs a spiritual solution. So thanks for letting me share.
I have a glorious 4 minutes left. Would someone like to talk for 3 of those minutes? Excellent. I'll just finish off with a couple of things from myself, which is, I think, technically not quite right, but I know that I wasn't my own best friend very well. It's something that I've had to practice. It's something I don't feel comfortable with, and I think anything that focuses on myself, the first thought that comes into my head is that I'm being selfish. And I don't have a very good balancing act with being selfish. I know there's good selfish and there's bad selfish. Good selfish is, you know, nourishing, healthy. Bad selfish is way too much chocolate. There's a balance there. Living life in a balance is kind of important. I recommend people consider listening to the similarities and not the differences in Al-Anon. Al-Anon's a broad fellowship of people. There are lots of fellowships out there. There are lots of meeting groups out there. And there are lots of ways program can be run, because we all have come from a challenging background. We've all come from circumstances which are unique, and we all have something unique to bring to the universe. I would hope that everyone can look at what makes themselves a better person. And sometimes I find that hard myself, because what I have learnt is to focus on what makes me bad for someone else. And that's not the truth, that's just a little delusion I run around with, and I put on like a raincoat. And I'm learning to take that raincoat off. So I'm going to wind up the meeting now. I'll just go through the announcements. Al-Anon Al-Teen Literature is for sale.